Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Mark Wilson.
Benoit's intercepted by Dixon. How did he catch that? Dixon down the sideline. They're going to try and get to him, but Dixon could be going the length of the field. He's away. He comes round to the post and scores. What a sensational try.
Olbison slides it through. Right, he's got Wasaili on his shoulder. Right, he must give it Wasaili. Right, he does. Wasaili will race in. They're after him, but they'll not catch him. Etu Wasaili maybe should have gone round towards the post. But he gets the third Bradford try in 6 minutes, and the floodgates now have opened. Shaw puts the burners on. This could well be a chance. He's got Lynham on his outside for the hat-trick. Lynham scores! Big mishap pass for Hall, who scores in the corner. That was inevitable, but it still took the calmness of Danny Maguire to fire the pass out to Ryan Hall. Plenty of tackles here. Stroom, short ball, and he's in. They didn't even lay a hand on him. And Nick Stroom punches the air in front of all the sponsors. And Wakefield have their third try. There's no need to go out wide when you can run straight through the middle and score. Here now is Robinson. Mizzy gets it to Brough out the back now. They've got numbers. Miss out ball for McGilvray to win it. He's in again. Second try, Jermaine McGilvray. And that is game, set and match for the Huddersfield Giants. There's 5 seconds left. They've got one play. Ball here for Roberts. Left foot to win it. He's won it. What a kick. What a game. The jungle explodes with noise. And Castleford have done it again!
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Mark Wilson.
Good evening Rugby and welcome League to Radio Yorkshire.
With Mark Wilson.
It's another busy, busy week of Rugby League, and we'll be reviewing it all right here on Radio Yorkshire tonight. We've got three guests in the studio. Gary Schofield is here, as always, Rugby League Hall of Famer. Tim Rumford's here as well, works for the Castleford Tigers and is the coach of Oxford. Looking forward to hearing what he's got to say. And show me the money. Miss Harrison's in the house. Zach Hardacre's agent. So we had a big debate about Zach last week, and it's been continuing on Twitter. I'm sure you've seen that, about whether he should or shouldn't be playing for England. We'll have another chat about it tonight, I am sure. Scoey, good rugby league weekend?
To be honest with you, I haven't seen any of the games because I've been a couple of folks from my testimonial up in Cumbria. I was up in Whitehaven Friday night. A good friend of mine, Brian Tomlinson, who played for Whitehaven, has got a cafe bar up there. So myself, Andy Gregor and Gary Connolly was up there doing a question answer. And then Ellenborough Rugby League Saturday night, myself, Lee Crooks, Andy Gregory, 130 people up there for the question answer. Really, really respectful on the time they gave us. And I must admit, I'm still suffering. We have a couple of quiet ones for Mr. Crooks and Mr. Gregory, to be honest with you.
You won't learn, will you? You won't learn. No. There's a rumour going around that Richard Shaw Wright and Phil Kaplan have booked the night off. They've gone to the Agra for a curry. Can you confirm or deny that?
Yeah, it won't surprise me. It won't surprise me. Mm.
We are level, by the way, after you back weight for an hour bet.
Please, please. Mark Wilson.
We'll discuss that in a moment. Big win for the Castleford Tigers, the Huddersfield Giants and the Leeds Rhinos. And what about Hull FC? Got his Saints and winning in the Super 8s in the qualifiers. Another win for Hull Kingston Rovers. Lee getting battered again. The Bulls steamrolled by the Wildcats and Sheffield Eagles blown away by the Vikings. Elsewhere, Derby Joy for the Dewsbury Rams. Featherstone Rovers beat Doncaster. Hunslet beaten by Workington and Whitehaven beat London. Tim, welcome along, mate. Welcome along. You'll obviously have heard Scoey. He's not a big fan of Oxford Rugby League.
Hold on. I'm all about the game down south, OK? You know exactly the way I feel about it. I'm looking forward to, what Tim has to say. And, it will be interesting because one point I'm going to make before Tim starts, from a point of view, before everybody jumps on my back and jumps on my shoulders and tries to put me down, I read a report from somebody called Rapley or Ragley or something. I'll just get his name here now, and we talk about a huge part of rugby league, it has been for many, many years, and is reflecting and commissioned a report in Western Cumbria Rugby League after the World Cup, and it's something called we've got the Rapley report about the game in Cumbria. Well, I'll tell you what, whoever that rapper is, he wants to go up there and see how strong it is and what the game of rugby league does bring to, and what Cumbria does bring to the game of rugby league. So, yeah, I think we're in for a good debate tonight where whether if the RFL had spent a lot more money and a lot more attention regarding paying silly money for a report to be done after the World Cup, then, I think it's going to be quite interesting.
Yeah, it's a good job Tim's not getting paid by the word tonight, isn't it? It's nice to have a coach in the studio that's actually won some games in his coaching career.
I'll do the funnies, Matt Wilson. That to you every week. Craig, he hasn't changed, has he?
Tim, welcome along, mate. You work for the Casford Tigers, and you were involved at Oxford. How did that come about?
I work for Cass Tigers with the charitable arm of the club, the Tigers Trust, which is much similar to many Super League clubs' foundations. We're out in the community there delivering various projects. The big one at the moment is the Sky Tri, with the different pillars of them grassroots projects out in the community, where we go into schools, we're going to clubs, and we're trying to get more people involved in the game at grassroots level. That's a real sort of big part of my role at Castleford, and as we got speaking to that with some different people around the country, the opportunity at Oxford arose. Tony Benson left there late last year, and they were looking for a coach, so I approached the people at Castleford and asked for permission if I could take the role, because there are obviously time constraints with the travel and things like that. They supported me in that role, which I'm very grateful of, and I've been down there sort of since last December.
For those that don't know, previously you've been coach with the Castleford youngsters as well. You were there when players like Daryl Clark were playing, Jordan Thompson, Ryan Brearley as well was under your watch, wasn't he, at one point?
Yeah, we had a real good crop of kids coming through, and real big effort, and some real good coaches in the youth department at that time, as there are now. And we managed to get some good kids through. Clarky, Adam Milner, Johnny Walker, people like that, and we had a really good academy under 18s team that year. There was a guy commentating on the games who probably left a little bit to be desired, but apart from that, it was a real successful season.
See, why are you getting personal? I'm sticking up for you. I'm going to let Scoey have you now.
I'll tell you what, though, Tim. And they say we mentioned Ryan Brad there, and what we've heard regarding such a quality player, as we've all seen, and. I guess the odds aren't always right. Well, they're not right most of the time, to be honest with you. But was it Ian Millward who says he's not good enough for Cass? Well, I'll tell you what a load of rubbish that was, wasn't it?
Yeah, Ryan, fantastic attitude. We found myself or Steve Gill as well had a hand in it. We found Ryan playing at West Houghton Lions, and he bombarded us with CDs, DVDs of his games, and up to a degree where somebody had to go out and have a look at him. Myself, one of the scouts, went out and looked at him, and then Steve went out, and Chris Chester at the time was actually doing some work with our under 21s coaching, and Chris sort of said straight away, look, this kid's got something. He's got good skills. His agility was phenomenal. Slightly lightweight, Ryan. That's probably the only thing that's gone against him with regards to Super League.
You don't have to be 16 stone to be a scrum half, surely.
Yeah, that was the perception of a lot of people at the club at the time. Mm. He just found it difficult to take that next step into the Super League team. With Terry Matson at the time, and then obviously subsequently Ian Millward came into Castleford. And I don't think he suited their brand, unfortunately, of how they wanted to play the game and how they saw the halfbacks, playing the game at the time, which was a shame for Ryan. But he went back to Lee there, which I think he spent some time on the scholarship at Lee previously. So he slotted back in there, and certainly I think Ryan's never looked back. And a big part of that kid is his attitude. The kid's got a great attitude, and he took a few knocks there and been knocked back, and I'm sure Ryan will keep going, and who's to say he won't end up in Super League yet?
Do you two know that that's his agent?
Oh, I've just done him a favour there, haven't I?
There you go. Hello, mate.
Hello.
Eleven minutes in, you finally get to say something. How are you doing? All right.
All right. I'm good. Good. Busy.
Business must be booming. You've got Zach Hardacre, greatest player in the world. You've got Luke Gale, destined to win the Albert Goldthorpe Medal. You must be raking it in now.
100%.
Don't forget Danny Maguire. He'll be back for England this year. Don't forget the golden boy, Maguire. I'll tell you, he'll be back for England this year, Maguire. You mark my words.
Ryan Brearley, not going well at Lee. Not for him, but for the results the last 2 weeks. Bit of an eye-opener for Lee, do you think?
A little bit. I thought the first game when they led Ulkay, I thought a bit of naivety or whatever you would call it. They play a certain way and they kept to that way, but it didn't work. I thought in that last, if you can't put the cue on the rack with 25 minutes to go at that level, there's got to be somewhere. Watching the game unfold in that second half, I'm thinking, no, you've got to play a bit more. You can't do what you're going to do here. And they kept playing and playing, trying to get edges. And I'm thinking, no. And then when it happened this week, I think the same sort of thing happened. I think Salford got off to a good start. I spoke to Ryan actually after the game, and he said they're still getting a lot of chances, just defensively and maybe structure, and maybe, you know, I don't think the word is used much in the field position and all that control of the game. They just throw it, don't they? They just literally play as they see it, and if they get numbers, they take it on and they go for it, which is exciting. But listen, if they don't make the Super League, I think there's going to be definitely. I think everything in Lee's been gambled in on getting into that top four. So
I tell you what, the pressure really is on this week for Lee, isn't it? Because to play Wakefield, jeez, I tell you what. If they don't win that game, they're not qualifying, are they?
No, it's as simple as that. It's a club who, I think, all year. I tell you what's been fascinating me watching it unfold, and I've been thinking, can they do it? And I watch Bradford, obviously against Waking. I'm like, I was just in astonishment, thinking, God. The levels, what you think, you know, he's a nice player, then you suddenly, you've got your gob up and you're thinking, no. I always tell a story, what learned Daryl Powell a big lesson. Daryl Featherstone had a great year, and they went to Leeds, Headingley, with Rob Burrows' testimonial, and we're all in there, it's a cold, foggy night, and I looked at Leeds' lineup, and I think they thought, yeah, we better just show them what. Anyway, within about 30 minutes, it was 40-0.
Yeah.
Maguire and Burrow had scored two apiece, and I was sat there, and I'm looking at Caney and Sam Smith and all the ones who've been playing well, and you just realise that Danny were looking up, and it like he were in second gear. Mm. So look, I really thought that the challenge would be stronger than it has been.
Mm.
Let's hope it don't go, because Mark Aston, I think, called it at start. He thought the gap would be too big. He said we haven't got a chance, and he's probably maintained that. I hope it's not right. I hope.
But also as well, I think when we're looking at it now, to be honest with you, I felt Lee certainly would definitely compete, and Bradford without Gaskell, they're going to struggle. It's as simple as that. But then, the more I thought about it...
Just quickly, the official word asked Bradford about this today is Gaskell will play at the weekend.
Right, okay, right.
Not what I heard last on Saturday, but hey, ho.
But right, but anyway, and as we all know, we look at the full-time situation, the players are full-time there, and then when you look to that game on Saturday, Wakefield, quite clearly, the worst team easily in Super League, and then you get Bradford, who was joint top or just a couple of points behind Lee from there, and you looked at the comparison, certainly in, not just the performance, but I think the points difference as well. But the other question I will put to people is, you know, I don't know what the guys think here, but how many players from Lee, Bradford, Sheffield and Halifax, how many of them, right, would get in Wakefield, Hull KR, Widnes and the Salford team? Because when you look at it, in them 14 of the Championship, all them players are playing in the Championship because no Super League club wants them and they don't think they're good enough. So realistically, why have we been saying that, or we have been for a while, Lee and Bradford, they're going to play out the fourth and fifth there. And them players who were playing in the Championship for them top four teams, quite clearly, nobody wants them in Super League. Would that be right, Craig? Or would you agree with that? No?
We're talking about Brearley there, and we're talking about
Gaskell.
Well, anyway.
How many players then from them four teams, let's be realistic here, would Super League clubs look to sign?
I think what the difference is there's probably three or four, maybe, who they would, who Super League clubs, I think, proves every year, the Anthony England's where I've... A lot of my deals have been done from lads who I've took.
I'm talking about the players who were playing in this Championship now, with these qualifiers. How many... Who would you say somebody would go for? Gaskell?
Yeah.
Would somebody would go for Mickey Hyam?
Danny Eddy. I could tell you now.
Danny Eddy?
He's a low, Adam O'Brien's had a lot of offers.
Right.
Lee, I think Mickey Hyam would get a deal anywhere. I think Ryan Brearley would get a numerous clubs.
Right.
I think there'd be sprinkling. I've always liked the fullback at Sheffield. Every time I watch him, I think, oh, he got offered a big contract.
TLT, whatever call it, or BLT, whatever his name is.
2 years ago, it never went through for personal reasons. I know a lot of them, OKR went to take the centre there at Sheffield.
But overall, then, so we look at the four sides and what they've got, squads of what, 20, 25. So we're just saying half a dozen for Super League. Well, quite clearly.
Yeah. Dave Manning and all, another one, I think.
Well, quite clearly, there's not enough quality in them Championship teams to compete, is it?
Is that not the argument why they went down from 14 to 12?
Well, exactly.
There weren't enough good players.
I think there might be a flip side to Gary's argument, as often there is, but not everybody might hear it from time to time. How many of them players might benefit from being in a better side. You know, I mean, you Ryan Brayley's and all
your better players around you. I'll buy into that.
You put them in a mid-table Super League team and see how they flourish with better players, more experience. A few guys from the NRL in there and some players with a couple of hundred Super League appearances behind them, and you know, you might get a lot more out of them guys.
Well, you've seen it with, you know, some of the lads at Casper, Liam Finn, for example. Where, I think when he got signed, everyone went, oh, wow, what's has he got some pictures of Darryl Powell or something? Yeah. Or how come he's bought in? But yeah, no, but seriously, but he's done a good job, hasn't he?
Yeah, but also, as well, I'll throw another one in the mix. We look at Danny Addy and we look at O'Brien at Bradford, say, for instance, and we look at, say, Brilliant and what have you. Are they happy where they're in their own comfort zone where they are? Okay, they'll be on decent money, but they're in their own comfort zone from a point of view where I don't want to go play Super League because at Bradford and respective teams, I'm playing week in and week out. If they went to a Super League club, they wouldn't be doing that, would they?
I can answer that because I've got both of them like eyes. They both want to get Bradford up. Both got offers. Both wanted to stay like.
Well, Bradford won't go up.
No, what I'm saying, they know that now. They didn't. They've obviously they started this season.
Oh,
they,
hold on. They've lost one game. Craig.
I want to comment. I got slipped in there with Scoey. I think Bradford have still got a chance of doing something. So let me rephrase what Apsley said. But what I'm going to say to you is both of them guys. We talked about it with Bradford because they're both on decent money. They've been there since they've both been kids. I asked the question. The question, well, we want to give it a good go to get Bradford back up. We think we owe Bradford that, and we're going to do it. Both very ambitious kids, by the way.
So. Right, so then, are you saying if Bradford don't go up this year, Addy and O'Brien could be leaving? Is that what you're saying? Because they want a chance at Armit Super League.
Well, they can't. They're both in contract to the club, so the club would have to agree to it.
How long are the contracts for?
They've both got another year.
Right, OK.
So that tells you that they can't just walk away from that. And secondly, I'll tell you what I'll say here. This is on there. Bradford are not a bad club now. I like the way they run things. They're very straight. They're very straight. And I don't think if they thought they weren't going to go, I tell you now, they're one of the clubs who wouldn't stack in the way of a kid. If they thought that, I'll give my word on that. They are not one of them who would say, no chance, we'll stick him here for 4 years and you'd stay in here. No, that's why the contracts were done. That if Bradford hopefully go up and all the dream happens. If they don't, I think one or two of them, and rightly so, by the way, because I think that should happen. If the club give it a go, and they've got a kid who's openly everyone's after, you know, he's above that standard. You've got to be fair to that kid as well. That's where the kid's got. You just said they're probably just going a bit more ambitious by the kid to say, listen, I'm not accepting this. I've given it a go. I want to play at highest level. I can, like we all do. I want to as much as I can. That's got to happen. And if the club stop that, that's when somebody like me, I think that's unfair. Really poor of a club, especially when a kid's decided to stop and give it a go. If he just jumped out last year and said, listen, get me highest deal I can, get me out of this Titanic. Because Bradford's had some bad times, haven't they?
Absolutely.
Them kids have gone through everything.
So I guess the debate about that and the argument would be, certainly if the Bradford Bulls fans are listening, it's quite clear. Most of our best players are going to leave. Bradford Bulls are never going to get back to where they want to get, are they?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? You know, there's a question: how much funding do they get next year? Are they going to have to offload some players to get under a salary cap if they're in that division? That's going to happen, isn't it, Tim?
It's the old thing about promotion and relegation coming back. You know, if a team gets promoted, they're going to have to bring some players in. And if a team gets promoted, there's going to be some players that can't go and hack it at that level week in, week out. So either way, you know, there's a lot of players going to be moving around one way or the other, I'm sure. And you know, was this a thing that people thought was bad about promotion and relegation? You know, is it tough for the players sometimes that, you know, we're going to get this club promoted, but actually if we do, there's nothing for us here next year?
I always
year.
Look at that, Tim, when you cover a lot of football and you see teams get celebrating and you think, actually for some of them lads, they'll know this is it. They need to be speaking, I need to be on my way out here because I am not going to play at a higher level, but, you know.
Well, you like, I suppose, in a way, Sheffield, in a way, the rumour is that they're going full-time. These guys then got them. They've got them into the four, which, against a lot of people's perception of what we're going to get the four, Sheffield don't spend that much, so they'll get them in the four. Matt, if they go full time, I guarantee you now there's probably only three or four going to stay because they've all got good jobs.
They've announced that today.
So I don't must be hard. Mark usually in the playoffs, all these lads are settled because they've got like Gary. They have 2 or 3 years, so they're not all squabbling for pieces. They already know what they're doing next year. This is first time it's happened where I said to Mark this morning, welcome to Real Wilson. This is what usually happens where lads are thinking, I'm one game away from my last game. Whereas Mark's always had them in two or three years settled. The King's Gary at Leeds, you know, people said to me, how come Leeds could win in playoff time? I say, joking. he knows they're there for the next 3 years. There's no one sitting there saying, I'm off, son, it's been great, and I'm on here for parachute money and I'm gone. Every single player at Leeds talk about after the grand final what they're going to do after. So
Ryan Brayley's listening now, Gary, so you got any kind words for him? I told him we were talking nicely about him.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think he's a quality player. There's no doubt about that. And I guess if he was playing Super League, he wouldn't be far off the England squad, because you know he's got that creativity about him. He's got the support player there. Yeah, I like Brayley. Oh yeah, there's no doubt about that. And as I say, for whatever reason, Millwall didn't like him, and you know the patience should have been there, to be honest with you. But just to add on that, when we talk about the Wakefield Bradford game, I think I just want to say, because I know Richie Owen from when he was at Ulster with my son. I've known Richie since he was six. And, you know, geez, he was in agony, and we all know exactly what's happened to him with a double fracture of the leg. So I just want to say, Richie, keep smiling, son, and there'll be a long road for you. But, you know, that road, I'm sure, there'll be light at the end of the tunnel for you. And, you know, we wish you all the very best in your recovery, because it was very, very painful to see.
Yeah, Brian Smith, you was upset after the game. And Michael Carter, quick to come out and say, look, we'll bat Richie Owen to the
absolutely
end. You know him, Tim, as well.
I do, yeah. It's a tough one for Rich, probably more so than most, because he's... His life away from the game is a very active one, and he likes to do a bit of gamekeeping and he gets out on the land there, and he's something he's been enjoying. I bumped into him a few months back locally near where I live, and I had a pint with him, and Rich was sort of, you know, saying how much he was enjoying his gamekeeping. He had a couple of farms that he was looking after, and things were going really well on that side of it. And I think that's a career that Rich wants to follow after he's finished playing. So this injury is going to affect that for him as well. And you know, he's had a tough time recently, and he's one of the he's a character, is Rich, and it does seem ironic that these injuries and these bad things do happen to the better people. I mean, nobody deserves it, but. You know, Rich is a cracking lad.
Brian Smith said if there's a rugby god, he's got a very sick sense of humour. It's a tough blow for him, isn't it, this one?
It is, but it's part of the game, I'm afraid.
Oh,
to say.
Yeah, it is,
I go through it a lot, where when my lads will ring up and I'll say, listen, you can either have it early, you can have it in the middle, you can have it at the end, it's up to you, son, you're going to get it. You're going to have to put a 2 year period where you're going to get some bit of bad news, and you're going to get this. It's how you come back, but you're going to get it. If you don't get injured early as a kid, I'll guarantee you, I can always remember watching Sam Burgess. Remember when Sam were at his best as a kid, then the shoulders, he were playing against men, and all of a sudden he had the 80. Stevie Ward's just had 2 year of... It's all about... They'll get it. There's a 13-year span in there.
Another player as well, I think. Is it Johnny Campbell, plays for Batley?
Yeah, yeah,
he was the same, you see. My son told me, he said, Dad, you just couldn't see it because his ankle was the other way. So again, you know, Johnny Campbell, you know, speedy recovery, son, lie there in the tunnel and try and keep smiling.
We discussed this with some lads the other day, and I was saying, you know, people say rugby league's hard, and it is on the pitch, but I tell you what, it's hard off it and all, because... It's built on very negative things. If you think about what lads have to go through and some things, we never get a lot of flying buoyancy in rugby because it's deemed as being not the right thing to do. So if somebody actually starts to put a smile on and enjoy the ten, all I hear off lads on a Monday, I pick the phone up and after weekend, honestly, by 12 o'clock, I'm thinking, oh, it's a real. I don't know how you change that, the perception, whether they think, but I tell you now, they go through all sorts in week. It's all about mental battle, this battle. You win, you individual. And it's this. They can't, like Scowies did, they can't just go and have a game of pool and a couple of pints. And
well, I'll tell you what, on Monday,
Mr. Craig's doing a bit of dancing.
On a Monday, we'd have been phoning you up at 12 o'clock saying, come on, Craig, are you joining us in Monday Club? You know?
Yes.
Well, 10 o'clock at night, these, you know what I mean? Yeah.
This don't happen nowadays, and a lot of what they're coming back off injuries and
well, it should, because I wouldn't feel the pain as much. So yeah, ice baths are no good for you. I tell you, a gallon and a half is far better than an ice bath, I can reassure you. It takes the pain away, does a gallon and a half. And an Indian, by the way, that's what you owe me, Mark Wilson.
No, Tim, you do. You were there. Craig, how important is it now that his agent, his family, you know, for all the lads that are injured, they need the support, don't they?
Oof. And knowing that individuals, for me, is the most important thing, because I've got some diverse characters. I've got some who... You know, you have to be there straight away. You have to say, whoa, let's get sorted. What's going to happen? Some of them, you literally know. Say a Ben Jones Bishop. Say when Bishop has had his injuries, I could have just phoned Bishop and he's like, I've got all this. It's all there. I know what I've got to do. I'll come for a coffee with you. I'm like, Bishop, just got 6 months off. Yeah, yeah, don't worry. It's all good. And he never goes up or down. It's just like this. You get some where it's all over. Oh, no, career, this, that. You know, the boot dog, cat's gone through a window, the bookies. So it's knowing the individual and making sure that he has got that support base. the clubs are very good nowadays. It's not, when I first did this, it were quite a thing. Now, if you get a good, decent club, the support around the clubs are magnificent. And I think rugby league lads know how hard it is. That's why I think when looking at that, with Richie do that, he's been through a bad time away from the field, and I think everyone feels for him. And I think it's, I think that's one good thing we're good at. If there's always bad, they stick together.
Well, Michael was there literally as he came off the field on Saturday. He was there saying, "Look, you know, you're going to be on
Michael's Twitter account." But I've never seen it like it. We just retweet.
Yeah, I think that's a big plus as well. I mean, certainly working in the foundation and in the community side of the game, the onus on player welfare at clubs, and clubs have now got player welfare managers. I dare say when you were playing, Gary, you know, you looked after your own welfare and you just sort of got on with it, didn't you? You got together as a group and bodied each other along. But, you know, there's people now in place to help the players out through, whether it's a physical injury or a mental problems or whatever, with the state of mind, with all these sort of really vibrant things going on. So, you know, it is bad, certainly for Rich Owen and people like that. But, you know, there's everything in place to get him back as quick as we can.
Richie, because obviously he has had his issues. He's had some time away from the game. Yeah. That's been dealt with. He's come back playing rugby, and nothing's been said about it. He's been given the privacy that he needs to get on with it. And there's an acceptance now that, you know, they are lads like us. They have problems like we do. They worry about stuff like we do.
Well, they're all human beings. Yeah. At the end of the day, that's what they are. They're human beings, and they have feelings, and they have respect, you know. Because at the end of the day, you know, a sports person's life doesn't last forever. Because unfortunately, what happens in life, as we all know here, lads, Tim's a bit younger than us, but you get old, don't you? Yeah. You know, and you struggle to swing a club, and you struggle to read a putt, just like you do, Matt Wilson. Do you know what I mean? Because you're getting old. It's as simple as that. I know last week when I played in my All-Stars.
At least I don't stand there and eat it and go, "Where's that gone? Where's that? Did you see where that went? I can't see."
That's because of them silly glasses that optician sold me when back in 1991. But, like, you know, when I played in my All-Stars last Sunday, and I tell you what, Sunday night, the way my ankles was hurting and burning, literally, it was literally in tears there, you know. But at the end of the day, your sporting career doesn't last forever because we get old, and it's as simple as that. And you have to realise that.
We've had a lot of tweets. We'll come on to one of the big issues of the weekend. Lee Lockley, Facts fan, says Mitch Killane would flourish in Super League, and Dane Manning is a name you mentioned.
Dane, no brainer.
Yeah, Ryan has been on. He said, "Ask Craig, when is he getting me a pay rise? I want a Range Rover." Like, well, you don't want like this because the boot won't shut. And Carl Hall has been on, friend of the show. He said, "What about Mitch Clark? He went into hospital the other week, didn't he, for an operation on his arm?
He did. He's right.
And he came out with two pots on because he'd been playing with a broken wrist for 6 weeks. The bonkers, these lads,
the bonkers,
are they?
And he's a lovely kid, and Carl was straight down to the hospital for him, but he's already got a deal next year for Super League, so he's another one you can add to the list saying, let's see what happens with him. Fantastic. He's done that with a team that's not been that successful, Mr. Hall.
Yeah.
Get your hand in your pocket, son, and we'll bring you a team next year. Yeah. Show me the money.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
I'll tell you what, if Ryan Brayley's looking to get a Range Rover, I'll tell you what, we'll be signing for Leeds. I don't see too many Range Rovers in that Leeds car park because, you know, Gary's into a pay structure, and it don't want to upset the apple cart, Craig Harrison. They won't, but there's not too many Range Rovers in that car park. And I would imagine, when you talk about marquee signings, Mr. Maguire, Mr. Harder could have been knocking on his door. Hey, where's my Range Rover? It's got to be smart, Mr. Harrison.
Yeah,
hold on. Let's just we talk. You know, we talked about it last week, and we'll throw it in now. We in the mix with Zach Hardacre, Craig's. He speaks to all his players as he does, and whatever. Has McNamara been in contact with Hardacre saying the way you're playing, you're my number one? Yes or no? Has he?
What I know, no.
Strange that then, is it?
But Zachariah, you know, he's. I think Zach. It's weird, you know. This is. I'll try and be honest as I can here. Usually, when you get Zach at it with an opinion, he's straight in. So I'm sure he gets told to be reserved with his Twitter. He's always. We have a bit of crack with Zach. So when this debate comes on the other day, I'm thinking, right, as I slipped me a Merlo to the side, I've thought I'll have some here. So I put, you know, for me, it's a no brainer. 100% vote with players, coaches, supporters in this country will vote 95% Zach. I'm absolutely positive. And I'm waiting for Zach to come on and thinking, come on, Zach, because usually he'd be in, bang, retweet, let's have it, we're on. I didn't get nothing. And then everyone starts building it up. Last night, my Twitter's with, man, I'm thinking, where are you, Zach? So the question is, where are you, Zach? Because I've tried ringing you twice today and asked you. I think Zach knows, you know what? He's been patient, hasn't he? If you think about it.
So do you think that McNamara has had a conversation with him, and McNamara says, Zach, this conversation is between me and you, leave it at that. Do you think that has happened?
And I think usually with Steve, it'd also be a conversation with Brian. I'll tell you now, it'd be the coach, like Daryl. I've discussed with Daryl saying I've heard out on Gailey, because that's usually where it come from, where you push the coach.
Don't worry about Luke Gilchrist.
No, I don't.
He's doing all right for the Abbott Gulf. He's doing all right for the Abbott Gulf, but your other man's going to be number seven for England. Maguire will be seven, Widdop will be six.
Well, here's one for you then. We've booked a place. My place in Marbella has been booked. There's four people coming on that. Two of them have said, well, what if you get called up? I'm not going to tell you who's actually.
Me and Scotty can come if you
want. Yeah. So I'll take Maguire's spot.
If you guess the right player,
two of them have already paid the flight. One of them said, I think I'll not pay the flight yet. I'll just wait and see. So I'll leave.
Well, who's the tightest in Ardick and all Maguire?
Gailey's tighter than Cam.
Tim, Zach Ardick, should he be England's fullback end of the season?
Well, I think he's currently the best on form. And you can't ignore that. You can't ignore form. Another one had a few off-field sort of blips, but it looks like he's a character. And in sport, we seem to be lacking characters in rugby league. We know there's loads, and think Zach could be great in the England camp. It's all to do with how he's managed, how Steve McNamara manages him. I know, with the Danny Brough sort of situation sort of pops into your head when you think about.
Well, this is the argument we had last week. McNamara, is he too stubborn to...
But also, I think another one we've got to throw out there is that, Sean Wayne obviously will say to Sam Tompkins, and Sean Wayne says, well, realistically, McNamara, there could be a place for the both of them. There isn't. Zach is not a winger. He's not a centre. He's a fullback. So, realistically, you're losing what you've got. Where could Tompkins play? He can't play anywhere else except fullback. So, there's a huge dilemma for McNamara. Who does he pick, the forward player, or does he pick on reputation?
I really believe, this is, again, my opinion. I thought Tompkins coming out in press last week and said, it's not to say I can't play. I think Sam knows the answer. Zach's got him. Zach's got his number. I think Tompkins.
Do you think England will leave Tompkins out because he's golden boy? He's a marketing kid. What the RFL use?
Tompkins said, and I quote: "Zach's a great player. It didn't mean we can't both play in the same team." I think now Zach's not said that yet. I think Zach's thinking, listen, I want that number one, and I wish you'd, this is why I'm having a crack with him. I wanted to go out and say, listen, I'm playing well enough. Defence-wise, there's no, you can't well, compete. Compete in defence.
Paul
can't.
Wellens, Tim, came out last week and said about Hardick, it's great to see a fullback that cares as much about his defence as he does.
Yeah,
he's always there, he's nailed on. I mean, I remember watching fullbacks when I was growing up. I mean, Jason Flowers at Cass, obviously didn't reach the heights of people like Tompkins or Hardacre, but when somebody brought the line at Cass and Jace were at the back there, nine times out of ten there was somebody getting dragged down at the ankles. And I've watched Hardacre the last few weeks, and Leeds don't concede that many line breaks, but when that kid's there, nine times out of ten, or 99 times out of 100, he stops.
If you wanted a fullback to make a tackle to save your life, you'd be on the full
100%. And you're playing quality teams here, you're not playing we're playing Aussies in New Zealand. You're not going to be getting that much good ball.
As I
put it out to you, do you think there's a place both for Hardacre and Tompkins in the England team? There's not, in my opinion, anyway.
David, we had loads of interaction about this week, and it kicked off again when you said you were coming on. You wanted to talk about it. And David, who's a Wigan fan, says, lol, if it was between Brian Blessed and Sam Tompkins, the Yorkshire people would choose Brian Blessed to play at fullback.
There's no biasness from me whatsoever, but I can reassure you, right? I'll tell you what, Mark Wilson, we'll have a curate on this one, right? It doesn't matter how well Zach Hardacre is playing. Should Zach Hardacre on form be the England number one? Yes, he should be. Will he be England's number one? No, he won't be, because he's the golden boy of the England Rugby League, he's the marketing boy for the Rugby Football League, and McNamara will pick him as number one, and we will have a carry on that, Mr. Wilson.
Can I have some of that action? Because I think he won't be able to keep out Zach. If Leeds do the grand final, the Challenge Cup, there's no way the public will not allow it. And by the way,
do you think McNamara cares about the public?
Let me finish,
Craig,
this one. Zach, Sam Tompkins, 2 years ago, got picked in the World Cup in front of Zach, rightly so. And Zach's my lad. At the time, I thought Tompkins had played well enough, and he's had a chance. We've seen what he can do. No one's seen Zach yet. No one's seen Zach. We're all arguing about this. I'm thinking, my God, it's Tompkins has played probably 20 times.
We're not arguing, we're debating who should be there. Debate. We all agree Zach Hardacre should be the England number one. But I can tell you, he won't be.
We're moving on.
One in just before, obviously, we move on. I know Gary will agree with this. I mean, how exciting is that the prospect of Zach Hardacre linking up with Justin Carney, you know, in the outside backs for England this season, this year?
He's been listening. He's been listening. What do you think? Well, especially after the offload off Cuthbert's.
At the end of the day, he's an Aussie, so he's not allowed to play for England. Residency, load of rubbish. No, as I said, is he good enough to play for England? Would he keep Ryan Hall out? Would he keep Briscoe out? Would he keep Burgess out? Do me a favour. How many mistakes is in Carney? We'll put a report again because he got tackled. He don't like being tackled. He had a go again. Well, Aston, I'm posing with my hair and Samson style hairstyle Sims. Jesus Christ, but you know, Carney, you know, would he get in the England team anyway if he was eligible to play? I don't think so.
At RL on our wife, you would disagree or agree. Another one for Kellane, Manning, Saltonstall at Halifax, QLT at Thorpe at Sheffield, all of the backs at Lee, but none of the forwards. It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Would Ridyard? Does anybody do you look after Ridyard as
no.
well?
No, no.
Would anybody? Ridyard, he's not a bad half back. What do you think?
He'd send him to Finney, sort of thing. I think if you had somebody like Darrell, a coach of that ability, I think Darrell could get. Here's my answer then. All the players we've mentioned, if they put him with Darrell, yeah. Because I'd say Darrell is
brings the best out of him.
100%, and they know the structure, they know what they've got to do. They don't have to come away from
I
that.
I think maybe as well, that side of the pen, and it's Dennis Betts as well, because Dennis understands that sort of division as well. Yeah. And, you know, Dennis likes to play with a bit more imagination, a bit more flair and vision. You know, I think Dennis Betts would do a good job with them sort of players as well, you know.
We rave about Darrell Powell on this show, Tim. What impact has he had at Castleford? What has he done for that club?
Obviously, my work sort of in the foundation with the community, and I sort of see Darrell on a day-to-day basis in passing, really. But the biggest sort of change I can see in the club from previous years, and I've sort of been at Castleford on and off for 11, 12 years now in different roles, and it's the culture that's been created at the club and the way the players are around the place and the level of professionalism that they all exude that his backroom team, Danny Orr, Ryan Sheridan, people like that, the conditioners, you know, Ben Cooper, that they really give off that aura of, you know, it's a real team effort and, you know, everybody's got respect for everybody at the club and generally all the players seem very, very happy and it's a good place to be and it's a good environment, and I think that's the biggest change that Darrell's brought to the club. It's that level of professionalism and the culture.
I tell you what, they've let two players go this week, haven't we? It's been Ryan Bailey now. Where will Ryan go? You know, we're talking about players who, you know, coming to the end of their careers. Who will take a punt with Ryan Bailey? Would you know, Craig? Do you look after Ryan Bailey? No.
Ryan.
So who will take a punt now with Ryan?
No. I think Ryan needs to get his send right and get his send back training and take a bit of time and then come back. He might do next year. I don't think this year. He can't sign on anywhere anyway, so he's got to...
No, but who do you think would take him on? Would anybody take him on?
Well, if Darrell's... This is my frustrating thing on this. If Darrell couldn't master the job, I can't see anybody with paid. Darrell's a patient guy. He gives him time. He gives him the respect.
So could we be seeing the retirement of Ryan Bailey, do we think?
Well, you don't not to the game. You know, I think Ryan needs rugby. So my answer to you there is he needs rugby. And if he
needs rugby, but does anybody need him?
That's the million-dollar question.
Would he drop down to the championship? I tell you what, he'd be all right playing that league team, wouldn't he? Jeez.
Yeah. You know, one of the fears I have, we talked about it again this morning. What? Have you seen how many new signings are coming from the overseas? What the promotion and relegation scared him to death, because every time I pick paper up, I'm like, and there's another three or four, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I hope this doesn't go the other way. And we were on about getting our young talent and this and that and getting them through this dual-reg system, that system. When the panic buy comes, they just buy the cheapest dollar, which means I can, you know what I mean? I had somebody say to me the other day, 8 halfbacks in this country, and I said, well, you're going to struggle because the babies who can play need time, and they need time to do it, and they need a bit of patience, and they're not going to get that. There's not many young kids are going to get that. They can go and get an Australian, Samoan, whatever they do.
Hold on, we're talking about... We're talking about halfbacks here. I'll tell you what, how patient is people going to be with that Sandow then? As I said last week on the show, if he thinks he can just come to Super League, play in a dinner jacket, prance about like he's doing, wait to the last tackle to look pretty, putting a high spiral kick up. I can still do a high spiral kick. At my age, I was doing it last week at Wakefield at Eastmoor. I can prance about for a while, and and you're saying it takes a time to adjust.
Young
by all accounts, he is supposed to be a quality player. He now should be taking the game by the scruff of the neck instead of pausing and prancing about. He needs, instead of waiting for things to happen, he should be making things happen. And I'm getting a little bit fed up when all we do is stick up for these overseas players, because I know I've experienced it. When I went to Balmain, the 37-hour flight it took me to get there, they called the training session. I'd only been there 45 minutes, special training session there, and I was playing the next day. We wasn't given time when we go over there. So why, Craig, do we always seem to come up with excuses that they need time? They're supposed to be quality players.
I'm weird on that. He's a big player. Big players have to play on the big occasion.
Perform week in and week out. But yeah. How do you think he started out for the first two? You're a big Warrington man. You've got plenty of players there. Jeez, hasn't he been? What's he done?
If you go back 4 or 5 years, Johns didn't do bad, did he? That first game he came against Leeds, it was.
Hold on. We're talking about an immortal here. We're talking about Andrew Johns. And we're talking about Sandor.
Sando could be on double money.
Craig, do me. What, more than Andrew Johns? I bet you Johns have got paid more in four games. With all the shirt sales and every sort of thing. Don't worry about that. But don't put Chris Sandor in Andrew Johns'
bracket. You just said, can they come and make instant things? I suppose that he's paid to do it. Of course he should, 100%.
No, but he's not, is he?
If you said Danny now, I'd say you just mentioned Maguire. So we said to Matt Maguire went to another club now, he'd be judged within 1 second. They'd be on him like a rake. It's all that's Kevin Sinfield's going to Rugby Union. I'll tell you now, you're expecting instant, aren't you? You're not going to guy agree. The top players have to perform. That's what they get paid for.
The point that Craig made previously was the one that of, you know, Super League clubs picking the phone up to Sydney or whatever and getting a half back over here as quick as possible because we're fighting relegation. And that just reminded me of that situation at Castleford when Castleford was struggling at the bottom of the league. And go back to the player we were talking about earlier, Ryan Brayley.
Yeah.
You know, that could be actually one of the reasons why Castleford didn't want to take the gamble, if it was a gamble, on a player like Ryan Brayley. So, you know, we do need to be careful with promotion and relegation and you know, the knee-jerk reactions. And maybe even the Super 8's at the top end and the top four and Warrington, that might be a fallback, I'll tell you as well,
over in the NRL, they're not all quality halfbacks. I'll tell you, there's some rubbish there. Oh. So why are we bringing the rubbish over? We need to give our talent the opportunity. Simple 100%. As that, you know, but will they listen to us? No, because it's panic buying and it's all about survival and it's all about making sure you're getting that £1.87 million per season. And our talent will suffer, and that's why the international. You know, we don't need to go over an old rope and all. Yeah. Why the situation? Why the international team with no halfbacks? Because quite clearly, we brought rubbish over from overseas.
I'm sure there's one difference though. I get a lot asked about an halfback, and a lot of clubs now will say, "What's his defence like?" And I say, "No, he's an halfback." And then we have this little debate, which I'm playing the game because I'm saying, "Sorry, I thought you wanted somebody, you know, a bit of bravery, a bit of dance, and a bit defense. Of jink." And, I'm not kidding you, and it's happening more and more defensively. You know, thinking. And I try and go back and think, God, I'm sure watching Scully in the day and the
I'll tell you what, Craig, I'll tell you what. If I had to make more than 6 tackles in a game, then forwards are getting told off. Mm. That wasn't my job. I would tackle if I had to do, but nowhere made. We're talking about defensively again. Does Tony Smith worry about how Chris Sandor tackles? How many tackles have you seen him made?
Not many.
Say no more.
You're not a fan, are you, Scott? You're not a fan.
What a defence? Halfback tackling. Oh, yeah, I like Sandor's oblique player, but I'm sorry, I'm not buying into the excuse it takes time. He's a quality player. Jet lag only lasts for 5 days. Get on with the job, son. You're here. You're in a big, so-called marquee signing. So at the end of the day, you can't play in a dinner jacket, son, because Super League is a little bit harder and a little bit more intense than what you may anticipate.
Well, Mitch Garbutt, we spoke to him the other night, he said that. He said, Tim, he's been amazed how physical it is in Super League. He wasn't doing it down. He strikes me as a wonderful man. I don't know, I like him, I like the way he operates, but he's doing well. It's not easy, is it? It's not a cakewalk, they all think, or some think it is.
It's not. It's a better product and it's a better game than certainly the Aussies, I think, give it credit for, and I think that certainly there's an arrogance from the Australians, and I see it. And I, you know, I've got some Australian friends there that just think our game is a totally second-rate competition, and you know, any Aussie player can come over here and walk in a team and swan about the field, much like Gary's saying Sandow's done at Warrington. I think Sandow will come good. I think he will. I think he's probably a little bit too good just to walk around. But the fact that he's taking so much time over it must be a frustration of everybody at Warrington. But yeah, you know. It's encouraging that them players are coming over here and struggling in a way, because it tells us that our competition actually is a bit better than a lot of people think.
Yeah, well, a bit of a pre-season, won't it, like Wakefield had, because Warrington's season now, Craig, it's surely over, isn't it? 6 points off the top four.
I don't
five
even,
left.
I'd, usually in rugby league you don't make a comment because then they spend five weeks in changing rules, putting it up saying Gary Schofield said this, and if you have to use Scoia,
I'll tell you what.
That's happened before. Scoia already.
Well, I'll tell you what. My piece in here, right, is all about Warrington, right? It's all about Warrington. And I tell you what, Craig, you could give that to your Warrington kid. It says Warrington's nightmare almost over. How many games have they got left? Five. Well, I tell you what, they could put that up for 3 months. It still wouldn't make any difference for motivation. Warrington's season is finished. They're not a team. They're all a team of individuals, and quite clearly, you know, that element of that team effort on paper. Warrington, me and Tim were speaking about it before we came on here. On paper, Warrington are a top four side. There's no two ways about that. Done the double over Leeds, of beating Wigan. We know the performances they're putting. Tell you what, jeez, absolute woeful.
Yeah. Well, I was speaking to Gailey after the game, and Gailey used to play against Warrington, and a lot of teams have styles. You know, we're going to come and wrestle you around thing. They're going to get you to that stacking up. You know, they got Huddersfield. They're going to do. Warrington just offload and these terrified defenders. I can remember Warrington coming to, like, Gailey used to say, "Oh no," because he says when they throw a ball about an offload, you're terrified because you don't know what
exactly.
to do.
Yeah.
I don't know where Warrington. They're trying to get to at the moment. I think the transition's happening, and I think that they're looking, and I'm watching Warrington and I'm thinking, are they trying to get edges, are they trying to get weak forwards, are they trying to go through middle and get Daz Clark on that quick play? I don't know, whereas most teams, Leeds, they're going to throw that ball about, they're going to try and offload. Cuthbertson's brought a little bit of bit different, but usually it's get to edges, hit Callum, hit Joel Moon, yeah. and we'll play off that all
right,
day.
Right, also as well then, Craig, right, you've got some Warrington players on your books. Surely you've asked him, what's happened with Daryl Clark? His confidence is absolutely shot. The smile on his face has gone. What the players say about Daryl Clark?
I have asked that question, but I think he I don't know if you will have a laugh about this, but I always mention the Cas Vegas. The Cas is a funny town. When they leave, it takes them. I don't know how. I have to laugh because sometimes when they do it, they must. You've heard the big one about, I think the famous one with Tommy Saxton in Las Vegas, and he'd gone out, and he after the second day, he said, it's just not like Cas, they don't come out of his room. So I don't know. I think it takes some more time to settle because they're such close kids. Daz was ingrained in Cas, you were ingrained in Steve Gill, you were ingrained in the Castleford mentality. You take them out. You might say, get on with it. Yeah. But I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. I actually called this a little bit and thought, you know what? They'll find it hard because there's so much togetherness of them kids. You take away him, all his friends and his family, and you take a kid away, he's sat living with his girlfriend partner to be. There's just them two. They're about 4 minutes from ground.
Right. It comes back to that old thing that I was just saying there, Gary. They're only human, you know. And Daz has been brought up and raised in Cas, and you know, probably if it weren't for rugby league, you know, Daryl himself said probably not sure what might have happened to him. You know, he's an Airedale, all his mates are up there, and he's moved over to Warrington. He tried to commute. He's gone over, he's got a place there now. You know, it's a big change for somebody like Daz Clark, for anybody. And he's still only a relatively young kid. And again, I think that once he settles down and makes that transition, that, you know, there's big things to come from Daryl Clark in Super League.
Nobody's doubting that talent, what he's got. But when you look at the kid now, he's shot, his confidence gone. I tell you, as we say, that smile on his face, he's, is he ever going to come back under a Warrington shirt? And it wouldn't surprise. Do you know who his agent is? And I tell you,
my friend had him, and then he's gone with an Aussie agent to do the Warrington.
No, he's not gone with Chris Orr, is he? Is it Chris Orr? Is it?
No, it's even worse than that.
Craig.
Sorry,
now.
Anyway. I am being a bit.
Now.
but also as well, fellas, right? You know, you know Clarky, you're from the Cas, you know from there. Surely Daryl did all his homework of thinking. If I do move, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to move away from there. Will I be suited by that? Because obviously, Cas were in dire straits financially. They had to sell an asset. But surely Daryl could have said, "Listen, Castleford is my home. This is where I'm staying. You know, and you know, it's not my fault you're in financial trouble. I don't want to leave Castleford." He had the option to say that, didn't he?
Just remembering back to the time, I think, you know, obviously financial trouble might be a bit of an understatement, and I'm sure that sort of Steve Gill and the people that were in charge at Cas at the time will tell you that Cas were very, very close to going into administration.
Ridiculously close.
And I think the deal with Daryl had already been done for the year after, or sometime after, and they brought that deal forward.
They signed Daryl, then they loaned him back to
that's right.
Because Moynihan decided to stay for another 12 months, so they loaned him back for another 12 months, didn't they?
Yeah, okay. I think that what they did was they let Daryl sign for Warrington earlier, you know, for the season after, and that released some funds, and ultimately I think that those funds kept Castleford afloat during that period. And you know, say what we're talking about Daz Clark, a lot of people in Castleford realised that actually Daryl Clark probably kept Castleford
Castleford
as a club, kept their heads above water.
But you don't go And I guess from a point, okay, he's moved club, he's moved over to a different area. You don't go from being the number one hooker, the man of steel, the player of the year in less than 12 months to go performing how he's performing now. And quite clearly, Warrington have done something to his game that has taken everything away what Darryl Clarke brings to a team. Does that make sense to you? Is that the coaches who have gone into him and say, listen, we don't want you scooting here, we don't want you scooting there, you have to play to a structure? Because, you know, I was an individual player myself, and we have individual players, and that's what Darryl Clarke is. He plays off the back foot. He plays like nobody else could play by what he sees, and we've seen what a quality player is.
Well, certainly what Darryl would do at Castleford, he'd go play off the back of the forwards winning collisions. Yeah. Is it something that at Warrington, it'd be interesting to see a stat on how many collisions in the middle of the field Warrington are actually winning. Even comprises how many collisions in the middle of the field weren't winning.
I tell you what, I could win a collision with Aston Sims. Jesus Christ. Is he advertising Vidal Sassoon in? Because I tell you what, let's get a pair of scissors and get his hair cut off. You know, he might lose his strength, but also too, he might bring him some.
Darryl Clarke will be told to the same as what they all tell him. If you get a lazy mark, if you don't get square at thing, go. And you're right. I think it's more to do what you're saying. It's how quick you play the ball. I've liked the time how quick some people play the ball. And he got up at Castleford, it worked. Also, he played out of his skin last year. So this year, I know when Leeds got him in the final, the Challenge Cup final, they had a way to stop Daz Clarke. And Daz will get looked a lot more. Once you get high profile, that's what happens. And that's where the better players keep saying, yeah, but I'll just keep moving on and moving on. But I think the biggest thing for Darryl will be definitely the Cass lad in middle of Warrington. You just said a comment, Scotty. Should he have realised that? I don't think a 20-year-old is to give it a second thought. No. I think he's thought, double the money. I've helped Cass get a couple of quid. I'm at a club at the time. Everyone's telling me going to be the next.
I'll tell you what, he was sold short, though. He's only got under 10 grand for him. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's done all right.
Cass only got under 10 grand for him. That's all he got.
Well, yeah, all right, go on, move on.
But he was far worth more than that on the transfer market, surely.
Well, anyway. Listen, now I see you're looking to have somebody like Warrington to do the transferring, because they've kept more clubs up than any. Yeah, yeah. Simon on his own's kept more clubs. He's Featherstone.
There's not that many clubs.
Right, anyway, we're just talking about Darryl Clarke. How poor have Warrington been in? I know you're a Warrington fan, you got your players there. How poor, how bad a season has this been for Warrington, Craig?
I think it's been a massive underachievement. I think that if you look at the players they've got, like you said, Scoey, and the lad on paper, you can't believe it. The only positive, I think, is they've introduced a lot of young kids who's had a bit of fat on the back, and they'll be a lot better players next year. Should Warrington compete in Grand Final and Challenge Cup every year? Yeah. They've got the biggest training facilities. They've just put £350,000 indoor for the youth. That's to play rugby indoor all year round. Tony can sign any player he wants. Mm. He's got the chairman who can do it, you know. And the rumours are Kyle Eastman. The rumours I'm hearing
are that Tony Smith might not be at Warrington next season.
He'll be there. I promise you. His friendship with Simon and his trust with each other is closer than any.
What will he bring to Warrington next year, Kurt Gidley? What will he bring?
An expensive pay packet, I think.
I think he's bringing in the professionalism, what's the same, but then again...
Professionalism, what? Craig, you know what? I spoke to Warrington fans after that Challenge Cup semi-final, and we were speaking, obviously, Sandor cropped up and Gidley as well. And you know what? The Warrington fans couldn't care less what professionalism is bringing around the place, couldn't care less what he's bringing if they're in the swimming pool, have an ice bath, or in the dressing room. They want to see what happens on whenever they play, Thursday, Friday or Sunday afternoon. They couldn't care less all about that, Craig. So what will Kurt Gidley bring to Warrington on the playing side?
That's why the sports are paying £10 and a pie. That's what they're there for. Yeah. That's Tony Smith's job, to make sure the professionalism, the culture's right, as Gary does at Leeds.
Correct.
You're a supporter. You're not meant to worry about that. Agree with you? I'm going to turn up at Leeds. We are Joe on a Friday night. I'm not interested in what Gary's... I know what's going off the week, but I don't bother. I'm just sat with our Joe saying, come on, here we go, and that's the way it is.
Well, that's what the sport
Gidley, this is what I said to you. I thought they were bringing him as a fullback, but I thought he'd lost a yard probably 18 months ago. They're going to play. If he
lost a yard, he's never had pace.
If they're going to play him at six, and he has played a bit of hooker, I'm thinking, six. I can't actually see that. That's me being.
So he's going to play hooker. That's going to upset Darryl Clarke even more.
Defensively, he's very good.
Yeah, he's a very good defensive halfback. Yeah, I think there's a group of people that will be really pleased that we're talking about Warrington as underachievers, and that's probably Hull, because you know year after year, it seems that Hull have been the perennial underachievers of Super League and spending a lot of money. What Gary just said there, they can sign any player they want. They've got great stadium, great culture, you know, plenty of brass about, and nobody's talking about Hull now as underachievers, but yet Warrington are sitting there fifth or sixth and everybody's talking about them as underachievers.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point, and yeah, and Hull, you know, we'll be honest, we've put the
clubs are huge on Hull, so yeah, it has been a huge disappointment for them. Obviously the conversation Hull Kingston Rovers have got to the Challenge Cup, but yeah, the black and whites, as we know, you know, the size of that club, they should be challenging quite easily for the top four.
And the thing is, not everyone can challenge.
I agree with that, but yeah, if you look at, okay, Casford have gone okay, Huddersfield Giants, they at times they bottle it and what have you, but Hull realistically and Warrington should be closer to that top four. They shouldn't be 6 points behind, should they, really?
I know you bummed the drum about Darryl before, and you stand in astonishment sometimes to see what he's actually doing. I sat and watched that game against Warrington, I'm thinking, I know what type of money they get underneath the Super League for the kids at Cass, and it's not all that. You know, if Leeds want to go for a player, they'll get him at that age. They are the power. Then you've got Warrington and Wigan's and Sutherland's on the northwest. That a lot of times they're on scraps. They're on looking at a kid a lot deeper than most people do. I look at some plays like watching Massey in the other day, and I'm thinking, how good is Oliver Holmes? And it's Darryl, and I spoke to Luke on my ear about it, and he said, what is it? He said he just puts it on you that much. It's that intense that you're on it all the time. You've got to be on it. And I said to Luke, did you go out at weekend? No, we've got a big game this week. He's never said that in his life.
The culture, it comes back to the culture at the club.
He's just putting it on him. They're batting, the likes of Hull. Darryl's batting well above his average, isn't he? They are Casa batting well above.
Well, I've said on many occasions, you can see the players, they like playing for Darryl Powell. You know, I think it's not... Coaching is not all about learning them how to catch, pass, tackle and support, which is quite simple, the basic of what rugby league, and if you can't do that as a professional, you should be playing the game anyway. But it's his man management, you know, and I said it many, many times before, the players like playing for Darryl. Tim mentioned the culture, what he's brought there. I would imagine every player who comes to Casford and every player who leaves Casford after training, every player who plays there after games, even before games, will come in there, go to work with a smile on their face. Yep. And that's what Darryl Powell brings. So I know myself as a player, you know, certainly under the Doug Lawton era, I heard the 4 years he was there, there was no smile on my face. There was a smile when I was playing on the Sunday afternoon because I wanted to play for myself, the supporters and the directors, but not for him. But the culture, what Darryl brings, the players all want to play for him, and there's a smile on their faces.
Yeah, there is indeed. I noticed you give me a name check in your column this week, pal.
Yeah, I was hoping it would be a misprint, you know, but anyway, yeah.
I believe Castleford can win the grand final. You're still not sure, are you? They're not 33-1 anymore, scoring.
If they finish fourth, then they go to Leeds. They won't beat Leeds.
They won't beat Leeds, who they beat the other week. No, they won't beat them.
They won't beat Leeds again.
Won't beat Leeds. Drew with them last year, beat them this year. They won't beat Leeds, though.
Leeds got a big few weeks coming up, Wembley, yeah, you know.
I'm surprised you've not read the letter out from a Mr. Gareth Williams from Hallfirth as well.
That's Richard wrote this one.
Letter here from Gareth Williams from Hallfirth. It just says, I have enjoyed reading League Express for many years, and in fact, I relied on it when I was serving overseas in the days before the internet. But the one thing that ruins it now is the garbage.
When were he serving? The Second World War.
Written by Gary Schofield. Anybody can say things to be controversial. I'm not controversial, Mr. Williams. I'm just open and honest. But that doesn't mean it's correct. Granted, he was a good player in his day. By the way, Mr. Williams, I'm in the Hall of Fame, which is the best players, top 23 players ever since 1895. No, not just in my day. He was below average as a coach. Yeah, I'll agree with that. And he seems out of his depth as a columnist. Mr. Williams, again, everybody reads my column and 99.9% agree with what I say, with my open honesty, not being controversial. Unless he's self-promoting an event he's involved with. Yes, come to plenty of my testimonial function. There's only 24 left in 3 months. There must be a better qualified, recently retired player.